Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Good morning. Thank you for joining us this morning on the first Sunday of Advent. My name is Karen Dowdle, and I will be leading you this morning as we worship and sing praise to our God. We hope you feel as if you are here with us in person, and we certainly hope you are blessed as you hear the good news of God's love for you. Our order of worship is a special worship service entitled Saints Alive, published by Creative Communications. Please join us now as we sing our processional hymns, Lift Up Your Heads, Mighty Gates, hymn number 24 in Lutheran worship.
The Savior of the world is here. He brings salvation down to earth. Greet Him with shouts of Savior, come. I open wide my heart, your home. Oh, enter with your radiant grace. On my life's pattern, shine your face. And let your Holy Spirit guide. To gracious vistas rich and wide. Our God, we praise your name, forevermore the same.
Good morning. The Lord be with you. Blessings and greetings to you in the name of Jesus. It's good to be with you this morning for worship. It's the first Sunday of Advent. We'll be beginning this morning a special worship sermon series that will take us through the season of Advent for the next 4 weeks. The theme is entitled God with Us. This morning we'll be thinking about God as our potter. The only change in the structure of the worship service itself is instead of the responsive psalm that we typically have following the first lesson, we'll be joining in an Advent litany, which is on the little insert in your worship bulletin. We'll continue now with the opening sentences. A voice cries out in the wilderness, "Clear a way for the Lord. Make a way in the desert, a road for our God. Every valley must be lifted up, and every mountain and hill leveled. The rough places will become a level plain, the rugged land a wide valley. The glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it at the same time, for the Lord has decreed it. Go up on a high mountain, O herald Zion. Shout out loudly, O herald Jerusalem. Shout, don't be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Loving Father, who sent Jesus as Savior of the world, we confess that our busy doing and decorating has shrouded our Advent and caused us to close our eyes to the Christ child. Forgive us for shaping the celebration to fit our desires. Seize us by your Spirit. Focus our eyes and hearts on the coming Christ. Inspire us with your gifts so that we shout from the housetops the good news that in the coming Savior, God is indeed with us. Make us into your joy-filled messengers, sharing your powerful message of salvation for all. Jesus has promised that the sins we forgive on earth will also be forgiven in heaven. Trusting that precious promise, as a called and ordained minister of the gospel, I confidently declare to you that in Jesus Christ all of our sins are forgiven, and we are privileged to share that same forgiveness with all the others in our lives. We are filled with Jesus' light of life so that we can shine among the people of this world like stars in the sky. Amen. We join together now in the hymn of praise, hymn number 30.
Sins redressing, came in likeness lowly, Son of God most holy, bore the cross to save us, hope and freedom gave us. Still he comes within. Still his voice would win us from the sins that hurt us, would to truth convert us from our foolish error, ere he comes in terror. us if we have known him, not ashamed to own him, nor have spurned it coldly, but will trust him boldly. He will then receive us, heal us and forgive us. Those who are then loyal find a welcome royal. Come then, O Lord Jesus, from our sins release us. Let us here confess you, till in heaven we bless you.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God, our Father and Creator, we lie in your hands like unformed clay. We have nothing in ourselves that can shape our lives and our future. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Form us, Lord, into willing clay jars that can carry the light of God in us. Send us to offer your presence and power to those around us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Please have a seat.
The lector this morning is Jamie Bloom. May God open our hearts to receive the word he speaks to us through Jamie. The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 64, verses 1 through 9. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you. As when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil, come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down, and the mountains trembled before you. Since ancient times no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God beside you, who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. You come to the help of those who gladly do right, who remember your ways. But when we continue to sin against them, you were angry. How then can we be saved? All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have ridden your face from us and have given us over to our sins. Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay, you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure. Lord, do not remember our sins forever. Oh, look on us, we pray, for we are all your people. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please join in the Advent wreath litany as it is printed in the insert in your worship bulletin.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God separated the light from the darkness. We light the first candle on the Advent wreath as we remember the word of God that created light in the darkness. With repentant hearts, we prepare to welcome Jesus, the light of the world. Almighty God, forgive us and fill us with the light of your love. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus, the light of the world, calls us to shine as lights in the world. We reflect his love so that others will be drawn to his light.
It's God sent his creating word to summon day from night. He sent his Son, the Word made flesh, to shine on this world's light.
The second reading is from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 through 21. In a large house there are articles, not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes and some for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master and prepared to do any good work. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter, verses 35 through 40.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those who has given me, but raise them up from the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. We confess our faith now together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please have a seat.
Join us now as we sing our sermon hymn, "The Spirit Sends Us For," hymn number 723, "In With One Voice."
Spirit sends us forth to serve, we go in Jesus' name, to bring glad tidings to the poor, God's favor to proclaim. We go to comfort those who mourn and set the burden free, where hope
hope is dim to share a dream and help the blind to see. We go to be the hands of Christ to scatter joy like seed, and all our days to cherish life, to do the loving deed. And let us go to serve in peace, the gospel to proclaim. God's Spirit has empowered us. We go in Jesus' name.
My dear brothers and sisters, in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text that I chose for the sermon this morning is taken from Isaiah chapter 64, verses 1 through 9. That's the first reading that Jamie read for us. There once was a story told of a rather remarkable woman named Eloise. Now, what made Eloise different, I suppose, from a lot of people was the way that she glowed with joy, the joy of her faith. You see, while other people talked about religion, Eloise was one of those kind of people that lived out her faith. While other people complained about other people and the weather, Eloise was the kind of person that anticipated tomorrow and looked toward a bright future. While other people planned programs and fussed about the operation of the church and the congregation, Eloise went about teaching and comforting and supporting others. And I suppose what was most remarkable about all of it was the more that she served, the more she seemed to glow, the fuller she seemed to be. The more she did for other people, the more that brilliance of God's love just shined through her. She was different, I guess, from what people were used to. Most people made for themselves their own kind of portable light that would shine on themselves so that other people could see them and admire them. But not Eloise. Her light, it shined for others so they could see. Oh, not perfectly. In fact, she would be the first person to tell you that she was imperfect. But I guess for some people, her approach wasn't that popular, at least to those people who loved the darkness of their own light. But it didn't matter to Eloise. See, as Eloise saw it, for every person who hides from the light, another finds the way. That's what she would say. See, from her perspective, she felt that people eventually get tired of trying to make their own light, or they get tired of trying to stand in the twilight of their own goodness. People get tired of being dark and empty. But God provides the light for darkness. And she knew that. And she also knew that God used her to be light for others. Now, of course, Eloise's story is just a parable. People don't actually physically glow when they do the good that God would have them do. But if we did actually glow, left to ourselves, I suppose that light would fade rather quickly. Or, I suppose we would find ourselves in some sort of competition on who glows the brightest. The point of the story isn't to direct you to Eloise necessarily. But the point of the story is to direct you to the source of the light. And the reason that she glowed, the reason that she was so full. You see, friends, the Bible tells us that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. And not only that, the Bible tells us that Jesus is the light of the world. He's the very one that was promised long ago, the one promised who would come to a people walking in a land of deep darkness, and on them, light would indeed shine. And how that light continues to shine on us, even today. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, the light of the world. Our Jesus, the one we prepare our hearts for these days of Advent. And why? Why do we continue to prepare our hearts for Him year after year after year? Because He is the light in this sometimes dark, dark world. He's the one that outshines all the supposed other lights around us, including our own attempts to be our own light. You see, the brilliance of Jesus' coming, His birth, His life, His death, His resurrection, those very things are a beacon of certainty for you and me. Those very things are a beacon of hope and peace for us. Because in this Jesus, the light of the world, we find forgiveness and life. In Him we find light for our path as we journey through life. In Him, we find hope for the future and peace unlike the world can give. In Him, our lives are shaped. You see, just like a potter shapes a piece of clay, so too are we shaped by Him. That's what Paul's getting at in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, when he says, "We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." Now, I want you to think about jars of clay for a minute. Jars of clay are, well, there's nothing really spectacular about a jar of clay. Suppose it's common, not so glamorous, not very notable. Jars of clay can't argue with the potter about what kind of pot they want to be or what shape they want to be. Jars of clay. That's what we are. God's jars of clay, shaped by His hands, made special by Him. And like jars of clay, we aren't meant to be empty. Now, sometimes maybe we try to fill ourselves up. Sometimes we try to fill ourselves up with stuff. And that kind of seems like what Advent has become. Stuff. Filling your cars with stuff. Packing your trees with stuff, your schedule with stuff, how we try to fill in all different kinds of ways in our lives. Sometimes we do try to fill with stuff, and sometimes we try to fill ourselves by finding meaning in whatever suits our needs. But that doesn't work so well. And if that were it, I suppose empty would be our final disposition. But that isn't it. You see, we aren't left to try to figure out ways to fill ourselves. God fills us. He fills us with a glowing, miraculous, and wondrous treasure. A treasure that has you and me overflowing. And a treasure that isn't meant to be left to self, but one that you and I have the wonderful privilege of offering to all those around us, especially to those people that we know who might be feeling empty, broken, surrounded by darkness. Jesus fills us. You see, Jesus is that treasure. You and me are the vessels, and He's the treasure. Jesus, the light of the world. Jesus, the one that no darkness can overcome. Jesus, the light that shines through us. I think Paul put it so wonderfully in Philippians chapter 2, that you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. You and me are shaped by the hand of God, created by Him. We're God's saints, redeemed by Jesus, filled with the Spirit, as vessels overflowing in love, to be the very people that the light shines through, as I talked to you about on All Saints Day. We are the vessels overflowing that the light of God's love and brilliance shines through, to be those very people for people in darkness, to be for people source of hope, to be light for those who are wandering and empty, to be the people that pave the way and point others to the light of Christ's love, which changes everything. What a gift. What a gift this treasure is for us very personally. And what a gift it is for others. What a gift it is for us as well to be able to share that light, to be for others a beacon as His love radiates through us in everything we say and in everything we do. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
The congregation's offerings are now being gathered by the ushers. This morning's radio broadcast is sponsored by the Geisen family in loving memory of Bill Arsenault. He's the uncle, brother, and friend of this dear family.
We invite you to please stand. Let's join together in speaking the offertory. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Amen. In addition to those who are printed in the prayers in your worship bulletin, please say a special word of prayer for Kim Castiglione. Kim is recovering from some unexpected surgery this week. Please say a special word of prayer for Lisa Rackley. Lisa is a longtime member of our congregation, also happens to be the cousin of Kim Castiglione. Lisa is experiencing some significant health issues, and she's under the care of some specialists to try to remedy that. So please keep Lisa in your prayers. For John Huey, is going to be undergoing some knee surgery this coming week. For Don and Gail Kelm's daughter, Carrie, who will be undergoing some eye surgery. And last but not least, for Derek and Mary Beth Robinson, as they mourn the death of Derek's grandma Robinson this past week. Let us pray. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Let us pray that the light of Christ will be our continual guide in all our daily actions. Lord, in your mercy, cast away the works of darkness and fill us with the treasure of your light. Let us pray that the light of Christ will illuminate our foolish and sinful ways and give us true repentance for our sins. Lord, in your mercy, you created us to be the ones filled with your presence and shaped according to your will, so that we will share the treasure of your indwelling Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You are the light of the world, and so let your light shine through us to all. Let us pray that the light of Christ will give us a greater vision and make us communities of light. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, let us pray that the light of Christ will shine through us and enter the hearts of all who live in grief, despair, deprivation, depression, and illness. We pray especially today for Kim and for Lisa, for John, for Carrie, for Derek and Mary Beth and their grief, and the rest of their family. We pray for all of those who are printed in our worship bulletin, our friends, our family members, and anybody else that we name before you in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Light has come into the world, but those who do evil hate the light. Let us pray that the light of Christ will shine through us and inflame the hearts of all those who prefer to live in darkness and ignore the truth as revealed in the Babe of Bethlehem, in the Christ at Calvary, and his loving and sacrificial death for all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. The Lord will be in us and be our everlasting light, and our days of mourning shall be ended. Let us pray that the light of Christ, shining in his resurrection, will brighten our path when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death and in our last moments on earth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. All these things and so many more, we pray in the precious name of Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Today, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, we give you thanks and praise through Jesus Christ, whose way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming him the Messiah, the very Lamb of God, and calling all sinners to repentance, that they might be set free from sin and live forever with him. Prepare our hearts now to receive this, our Lord's true body and blood in his Holy Supper, a meal that unites us to him and the forgiveness of the life he won for us, and a meal that unites us to each other and all the saints who have gone on before us. To you be all glory and honor forever and ever, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We pray together now as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. As we've received God's peace into our hearts and our minds, we share that peace with one another in the form of a word of peace or a handshake, whatever is comfortable for you.
As the people of St. John's come forward to the altar to receive the assurance of Christ's forgiveness and strength for the days ahead through the sacrament of Holy Communion, the congregation will sing three hymns. The first hymn during the distribution of Holy Communion is, "O People, Rise and Labor," hymn number 25 in Lutheran worship. we are continuing to sing, O Come, Emmanuel, hymn number 31 in Lutheran worship. Final hymn this morning during Holy Communion is Jesus, Name of Wondrous Love, hymn number 182 in Lutheran worship.
Thank you.
The people of St. John's are glad you have joined with us in our worship this morning. St. John's is located in the center of Depew, one block northeast of the intersection of Transit and Broadway at 67 Litchfield Avenue. As Lutherans, we believe that we are being saved by the grace of God alone, that we know about that grace from Scripture alone, and that God's grace acts in and to us only through our faith. Please worship with us in person in the near future. Our building is handicap accessible.
I invite you to please stand for the post-communion prayer. God, our Father, you fill the hungry with good things and send the self-sustained away empty. In this Eucharist, you have filled us with the word and the bread of life of your Son, Jesus Christ. Make us hunger now for his service in the hearts and the homes of all. Fill us with his presence, with his spirit of service and self-forgetting love, that through us he may become near to all dear to us. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. My friends, receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we gotta go around the corner.
Sinful mortals, come, O Savior of the world, open our to you portals. From your beauty let us view, anxiously we wait for you. King and Lord most holy, dwell in me and never leave. Though I am what poor and lowly, what vast riches will be mine when you are my gift divine. My hosannas and my palms, graciously receive, I pray you. Evermore, as best I can, homage I will gladly pay you. And in faith I will embrace life eternal.
us, David's son. Please have a seat for a moment. Good morning again.
Good morning.
Good to be with you. Good to worship with you this morning. How blessed we are to be together here in this place as we begin our Advent journey, as we fix our eyes on the babe in Bethlehem and what that means for our lives. It's, of course, our prayer always that the Spirit would open up our hearts to make room for Him in this hustle and bustle kind of season, no doubt. A very special word of welcome to some guests and visitors who are here with us this morning. It's good to have you. I do pray that that you've been blessed in worship here this morning. If you are visiting with us this morning, I would just kindly ask, before you go, if you could sign our guest book. It's out on the table in the fellowship area. A couple quick announcements before you go. As you came in, I'm sure you noticed that the journals are out on the table. So make sure you grab your journal before you go. Your Advent devotions, for those of you who placed an order for the Advent devotions, those devotional booklets are now in, so make sure you grab those before you go. They were here last week, by the way. They were just tucked in the cabinet, and I didn't know where they had stuck them. So they thought that somebody took one without authorization, so they put them in the cabinet, and I told them, no, I took it. I gave it to the Ramies. They were going out of town, so I made sure they had it before they left, or they asked for it. But, oh, okay. So they went and ordered six additional kids' devotionals, I believe. So if anybody wants a devotional for a grandkid or niece or nephew or something like that, let me know and I'll get one for you, okay? So we do have extras of those. Christmas schedule, just to kind of run that through as we're getting, it gets closer. The 16th already will be the Christmas pageant, the kids' Christmas pageant. That'll be the 16th at 6 p.m. For anybody that's interested in being a part of that, the kids have been working real hard. Once again this year, Beth Lasky has put the script together, and it's just filled with the narrative of the Christmas story in a unique way, but there's good humor in it, so it's a really good time. So if you want to come out for that, that's going to be the 16th of this month. Once again, we are offering the longest night service. That's going to be December 21st at 7 o'clock. That service is really geared toward folks who are experiencing perhaps grief this year, or who find the Christmas season as it comes upon them annually to be a difficult season because it triggers those emotions of past Christmases. That's what that service is. It's a service of darkness to light, a service of Holy Communion. One of the unique things about the Longest Night or Blue Christmas service is we have candles that are up on the altar, and that's an opportunity for you to come forward to light a candle as a symbol that the light of Christ shines even in the darkness. So that's going to be the 21st at 7 o'clock. The 22nd and the 23rd are going to be the last Sunday of Advent. So that's Advent 4, that Saturday service, Saturday the 22nd, Sunday the 23rd, all three services for the weekend. Christmas Eve, 4:30 service, which kind of has that traditional, it'll be a contemporary. Brad and some of the band members will lead that service at 4:30. It is candlelight. 7:30, that's the traditional with the choir and candlelight, so that's that service at 7:30. Please make note, this year, as the tradition in the past was that there was a hymn sing at 7:15, we're not doing a hymn sing this year. Lois is having some pretty significant difficulties with her hands, and to put that extra burden on her would have an impact during the service and make it difficult for her to play. We'd rather have her on her game during the service than a hymn sing. So no hymn sing this year, just the service at 7:30 with candlelight. 10 o'clock,
10 a.m. Christmas Day service with Holy Communion. There is no New Year's Eve service this year, so just make note of that. As far as the broadcast schedule goes, Christmas Eve, 7:30 will be a live broadcast on WXRL or FM 95.5. I don't know if you've realized that or not, but the service is now broadcast on two stations. It's on WXRL 1300, and it's also on their FM channel now, 95.5. So the 7:30 worship service on Christmas Eve will be a live broadcast, and the longest night service on the 21st will be a live broadcast at 7 p.m. on WXRL, since we're not doing the New Year's. All right, so that's kind of the schedule for the Christmas season, so just make note of that. I did make out postcards. There's postcards out on the table if you want to take postcards and as a reminder for yourself or give it to somebody that's looking for a church to attend this year. There's Christmas schedule and the longest night cards. So if you want those, make sure you grab those before you go. The budget forum is this afternoon at 12:30 following the late service. For anybody that might be interested in attending the budget forum, that's at 12:30 today. Elections and budget adoption vote is next weekend at all three services, so make note of that. Once again, I just want to say a special word of thanks to Tom and Sue, who work real hard during this season to decorate the church. Tom was working real hard this week to get everything in place. So thank you, Tom, for taking care of that. Sue, as I understand, you're going to be here Monday doing the ornaments with such precision. So Sue will be here tomorrow putting ornaments on the tree. So thank you for giving your time to make the church so beautiful. The only other thing I want to mention is another thank you, and that goes to, I mentioned the thanks to Joe Momont last week for the work that he's doing on the organ. Joe worked like a fiend here this week, crazy hours. I came in at my normal 9:30 on the one day, and I drove by at 6 or 6:30 in the evening, and Joe's truck was still here. The new chime system is all wired. There's a temporary speakers that are up in the bell tower right now, so it's operational. Pretty impressive. The permanent speakers will be here tomorrow, by the 5th. I got one of the speakers, Joel, the one that goes out to the side here. So what we thought, just to give you this real quick, what we thought when we played the bells outside, you can hear them really well on this side of the building, but you can't hear them over here. So what we're going to do is we're going to run a speaker wire off to this corner, and the bells will actually play in this part as well. How they're going to be utilized, when we're going to utilize them, I don't know. We'll figure that part out. But it's operational. It works. It's awesome. Now, not only is he got that lined up for us, but he calls me this week with another idea. So he has come up with a way, and it's got to be kind of worked out and figured out more precisely, but a way to play the chimes automatically. So right now it's set up where Lois would play it. Right, as she's playing the chimes in the church, they can be relayed and played through the speakers outside. But Joe has come up with a way to play the chimes on a computer through this system so that we can program it to play at, say, like 12 in the afternoon and 6 p.m. automatically with like a lineup of, say, five seasonal hymns or whatever. So thank you, Joe. I know you don't like the attention and you kind of get mad at me when I do it, but I want people to know the hard work that you're putting in and the blessing that it is to us as a congregation and to the community. Whether they want to hear the hymns or not, now they are. So thank you. Thank you, Joe. All right, I'm done. Ed from St. Luke Food Pantry is here just to say a few words.
I don't think I've been here since before summer, so I hope everyone enjoyed their summer. And I just wanted to, again, thank you for the ongoing donations. We, during summer, we lost some members of the food pantry and some clients, but now that summer's over, our numbers have gone up again. And if it wasn't for dedicated people as yourself giving us this food monthly and helping us with our mission at St. Luke to help the people in our area, the people that are in need. And this is, in a way, shining God's light on them. Recently, we had a couple families, they were quite large, nine and seven. And first time they were at our food pantry, they came in, they had no idea what was going to happen and that, and we tried to make them very comfortable. And when they left, they were in tears. They were so thankful for what we were able to give them. And as I said, if it wasn't for people like you with a continual contribution to our